heart on it, and you hear a little toot. Well, that's what I felt like that God just did for me. He just put a tiny heart
exaltation.
He does not owe us that.
I was born to lift the name above all.
But his kindness overwhelms.
You hear the
and
melody
we sing those words.
Of all creation.
Thank you, God.
But there's a song of praise that only I can bring.
The imperative.
Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?
Humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. That's that suffering quietly and patiently, long suffering. And that's the King James. So it tells us what our wardrobe is to be. So every morning when we get up, we have a choice about what we're going to wear that day. And so this is what I want to share with you today is about the imperative of kindness. Let's talk about what kindness is not. Never mistake kindness for niceness. The Bible is full of kindness, both Old and New Testament. I'm going to read a few of those to you. In fact, I will right now. It's full of the word kind and kindness and loving kindness. Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is in her tongue. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient and kind. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ in God forgave you. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. 1 Samuel 28:14, but show me unfailing kindness, like the Lord's kindness, as long as I live. And then Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. So the Bible talks many times about kindness. It never says the word nice or niceness. That's not in the Bible. So we can't mistake being nice with being kind. They're very different things. Kindness is fierce, it's brave, and it's daring. It's selfless also. And it should never be mistaken for niceness, because it's not the same. Niceness is kindness minus the conviction. That's what niceness is. We should teach our children to be kind, not to be nice, because there is a difference, and I'll tell you what it is. Because kindness is rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. It's Christian theology is kindness, not niceness. So it's not a duty. It's not an act, but it's a biblical imperative. In other words, the Bible doesn't say, when you're in a good mood, be kind. It doesn't say when things are going your way, be kind. It doesn't say when your wife isn't on you about the trash or the whatever, be kind. Or when your husband doesn't give you the money that you want for something really important, like a purse, be kind. It doesn't say any of that. It's not optional. Kindness is a biblical imperative. It's a natural outcome, and it should be a natural outcome of the Holy Spirit. I love this quote. We exhale kindness after we inhale what's been breathed into us by the Holy Spirit. Like a computer, what goes in comes out. And the Holy Spirit never breathes into us something that's not kind and all the other attributes of God. So kindness radiates from us from a total and earnest life of faith. It displays the wonders of Christ's love through us. Nice, being nice might be pleasant, but it doesn't have a soul, as I said. It responds to culture, and it often stands for nothing, zero. Nice is cosmetic. Nice is bland. Nice is not being able to do the right thing, which would totally be the kind thing. And I'm going to give you an example. Here's the example. There is a person that you work with, and he or she is not doing their job, and they're hurting the company. In fact, I left my internist because his front desk person was a beast. That wasn't nice or kind. She was so mean and hateful. And after a long, many years of dealing with that, you know, I just thought, I'm just going to go to another practice. The last time I had with him, he was German. And I told him, I said, I'm leaving your practice, and I'm so sorry because you are such a good doctor. He said, why? And I said, because your front desk person is like snarly and rude, not just to me. I've seen her, you know, like out in the open just being. And he went, oh. And I thought, I'm glad I told him, because he probably didn't even know that people could be leaving his practice because somebody wasn't performing the way he was, the kind of doctor that he was. And that's the difference between kindness and niceness. Niceness would say, yeah, I don't want to get involved. You know, that's embarrassing. I'm not going to tell him something about his front desk person, or I don't want him to think that I'm complaining about something. But kindness, that's niceness, but kindness gets involved. It because here's what it did. You go to her or him and you say, somebody should have gone to her and said, you can't talk to our patients that way. You can't be ugly like that. That is not what Dr. Hahn would want you to be. We know, and help the practice and help her to see, hopefully, to see. And that's the difference, and that's the reason that kindness springs from God's heart. It's because our tanks are empty. We don't have kindness. I'm not kind by nature, not at all. But he is, and he lives in us. And I'm reading a lot from my notes because I'm trying to train myself not to go into rabbit holes when the word is really important. And that's so easy to do. So if I look down a lot, I'm sorry. I'm trying to, because I think this is an important, I know it is, because it's in the Bible. The Bible says, put on kindness. When we go to our closet and we open up our spiritual closet, not our regular closet, but we open up our spiritual closet, I wonder where kindness is. You know, it's like, I know it's in there somewhere because Jesus, you know, is in my heart, but is it in the back? Is it wrinkled? Is it got tears in it? Have you not seen it for a long time? Have you not taken it out? Have we not taken it out and put it on? Because that's what it says. We put it on. It's a verb. We put on all these things, not just kindness. And the imperative, and that's what that means about imperative. It's not a choice. It's a choice. It's not something that's optional. Imperative means crucial, essential. It's an authoritative command. So we can't ignore it. That's why I'm sharing about it, because God shared with me about me and kindness and whether I am clothed in kindness or not. The first thing that kindness is powerful. The power of kindness is greatest when it's practiced on an enemy or an adversary, and the least of these. This is what Matthew 25:40 says. Whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me. The biblical meaning in this verse doesn't mean someone who has less value or less worthy, because in God there's no human hierarchy. In other words, the wealthy is this way. If you're self-sufficient, you're up here. If you're needy and you're not self-sufficient and more dependent, then you're on the lower rung. That's not how God sees things. The New English Translation says that the least of these are those who are vulnerable and disadvantaged. We have to ask ourselves a question. How do I treat someone who can do zero for me and who may cost something from me? They can't do anything for me. I can't use them for anything. In fact, it may even cost me. And I know people in this church have done that very thing. That's a good question to ask ourselves. And that's what it's talking about, showing kindness to those who need our help. Our missionaries, they need our help. They have to itinerate. Every few years, they have to come across the ocean or from wherever they are up through other countries to come here and stand in many, 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 many churches to say, here we are, and this is what we're doing in your name, and we need support. You know, the Bible says it's not optional that we do that. I wish they never had to do that. I wish the Church of Jesus Christ would be strong enough and trust God enough to send them that they never had to come home unless it was just to relax and see their family and take a vacation. But the Bible is very clear that we show kindness by those who do God's work but who need help financially and every other way prayer-wise in doing that. Did you know that that in the New Testament, that Greek word for the least of these, which means the little one in Greek, it's translated that, it's used multiple times. And you know who it refers to? The disciples, the apostles, the missionaries, those who follow Jesus, the least of those. And it doesn't mean the least of those in the way we would think about it. It means those who need help. How many times did Paul say in his letters, thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for the offerings that you sent. And I'm able to do this and I'm able to send this one to you because you have supported me. That's the verb of kindness. That's the imperative of kindness in our hearts. Jesus makes clear that kindness is not optional. We are to support our fellow believers who need us for assistance. And well, you know what that does? That makes us part of their ministry. Part of their ministry when we exude kindness for anyone. When you make an investment in a college kid that's going to camp or to their first foreign mission trip, you know, somewhere, that's not an offering, so to speak, but it's an investment. It's a kind investment into the eternal work in their life. And what a blessing that we get when we watch our teenagers grow in the Lord, when we watch our missionaries flourish where they are, because many of them work for years and never see very much that they can look at with their eyes. God sees it all, though. So I said kindness is powerful. So how powerful is it? Listen to what Titus 3:3-4 says. For we ourselves were once foolish. Who, me? Disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us because of his mercy. What a picture that paints. This isn't talking about the world. All these words, foolish, passions, pleasure, slaves, hatred, malice, and that's talking to us kids. God's kids. And he goes, all of that is what you used to be, but his loving kindness saved us. God's mercy and kindness overshadowed all our previous evils, and every one of us has been there. We've walked from darkness into light, but it was God's kindness. That last song was just that heart. I went, thank you, Lord. Your kindness does overwhelm. And I just wonder how many people have ever been overwhelmed by the kindness of Vicki Ritchie. I don't know. But it's a question I ask myself. Shut up, Billy. Yeah, that was neither nice nor kind. Yeah. But I do want us to ask ourselves that question. Has your kindness ever overwhelmed somebody? It's not being passive or ineffective. People think that. If you're really kind, you're somehow weak. The Bible does not speak of that. It's very clear that God uses kindness to reveal his character and his power, because I don't have any goodness and power in me, but he lives in me and in you, and that's what comes out. Here's another question that you can ask yourself. Have I ever received kindness when it was not earned, when I didn't deserve it? Have I ever received kindness? And what did it make you feel like? And what door may that have opened? I always think of that that great scene in Gone with the Wind, when Scarlett has just come recently from being caught in an embrace with Ashley. And she wasn't married to Ashley. And she was married to Rhett. But anyway, that, of course, this was in the Civil War times. That was scandalous. And Melanie, who was Ashley's wife, was having a big party. And Rhett said, "I'm not going there." But Scarlett was just, she was so self-willed. And so she put on a bright red dress and pinched her cheeks and got there and opened the door, and everybody was already there in the party, and they all looked at her. Do you remember the scene? Her standing in the doorway, absolutely gorgeous, but so guilty of what she had done. Here she was going into the home of the man that she had embraced outside of marriage, and his wife, who was having the party. And I'll never forget it. She's standing there, and you can feel her tension, and everyone's looking. How dare she show her face, especially in front of Melanie. And what happens? Do you remember what happens? Melanie sees her, and she runs over to her, and she goes, "Look, Ashley, our darling Scarlett is here. Oh, I'm so glad you're here." She brings her in past all the scowling faces and gives her a cup of something, you know, and takes away all that shame. She did not deserve any of that. And I remember the first time that I saw that scene when they first showed Gone with the Wind on TV, I remember thinking, Hollywood probably has no idea that they just showed a living example of God's forgiveness and kindness, generosity, all of those things in Melanie. And you know what it was? If you've ever been on the receiving end of kindness that you don't deserve, it breaks you. It breaks you. The Bible says it's better to fall on the rock and be broken than to have the rock fall on you and be crushed. And that's what kindness, that's what we get choked up at verse. It overwhelms, because we don't deserve God's kindness. But the power of that is to change a life. It's to open a heart. It's to have understanding. I don't know what Scarlett thought, but I know one thing. She was like this with Melanie, you know, was with her when she died, and knew that she had been given something that she did not deserve. And that's the power of kindness. The next thing, kindness paves the way to repentance. Romans 2:4. "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" And so we can respond to God's kindness and repent, but we can also give kindness and pray that God uses that. Because most people know that they're rats, you know. They know what they've done wrong. They don't need that to be pointed out. I sure do. You don't need to point out the things in me that are wrong. I'm pretty well assured of them, I think. But the kindness from God is what leads us to repentance. A good scripture to remember when someone makes us angry or hurts us or betrays us or lies about us, we want to make our case. We want to make sure they understand how bad this hurt. We want to make sure they understand we have been affected. We want sometimes to do the cold shoulder. Ever given anybody the cold shoulder? Oh, you can almost feel the iciness when someone's doing that. Or the silent treatment. Oh, Gary loved that. He was like, are you giving me the silent treatment? Oh, yes, thank you.
Silent treatment. Yes, yes. You know, and I would go, that is so unfair. That's not what, you know.
And then I would be mad because it didn't work, you know, when I was young and stupid. And I realized that that was an immature thing to do, to give someone the silent treatment. Well, I just won't speak to you. That'll get you. So ungodly. That's not what the Bible teaches. Of course, it was a blessing to him. Or do we avoid someone? We see somebody coming in church. They're over here. I'm going to sit over here, you know. Or somebody, a family member that we avoid. We avoid talking or speaking to them or calling them or whatever. The Bible says that kindness is what leads to repentance and opens the door to reconciliation, which is what's so important in relationships. It doesn't mean that we agree. It means that we have a tool. And we can leave to God what only he can do. And what that does when we do that is it keeps the relationship intact so that we can react to the person and not the act of what they did. Number three. Can you believe I'm number three already? Kindness can hurt. This is what King David wrote. Psalm 141:5. Let a righteous man strike me. It is kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Do you think kindness is of a demure smile? Fluttering the eyelashes, cocking the head, being still, being silent. How about a strike? Somebody whaps you over the face. Do you think that feels like kindness? Ever had a harsh word or a hard word? I should say it's better. A hard word or an action that really hurt you, did that feel like kindness? David understood this seeming contradiction. The prophet Nathan coming at him at the risk of his very life, that bony finger that he shook in King David's face, and on the bare knuckles of exposure, he said, "Thou art the man." Wham! He could have been executed right then, you know, his head chopped off. But David saw that hurt really bad. He saw what he had done immediately and realized this was God saying, you are the one that has done this. And so it hurt. I can remember that happening to me. I served the Lord. I was saved when I was almost 13. I served the Lord in high school. I never went to a party. Never, you know, back then I didn't even wear lipstick because it was hell bound if you wore lipstick in the 60s and you were a Christian. And so, I really followed God in my teenage years. was a president of the Youth for Christ Club, and you know, church was my thing. My friends and everybody was at church or in Youth for Christ. And then till my senior year, and I don't know, I lost my mind, and I didn't go out into deep sin, but I just started being different. My heart got snippy with God, and I just thought I would just do my own little thing for a while. And one of the girls when I was a sophomore, that I had a chance to share Jesus with her, I'll never forget Phyllis as long as I live. Her actual name was Felicia, but she went by Phyllis. Phyllis Farner. Her parents owned a little little trading post right down by the dam that we used to have a few miles from our home. And I had led her to the Lord, and she was following Christ. And one day, she came up to me in the hall. I was a senior. We were both seniors. She was a tiny, she was like this. We looked like Mutt and Jeff standing beside each other. And she looked up at me and she said four words. And this is what she said. What has happened to you? She may as well have taken a dagger and put it into my chest. I felt just like King David. That's all she had to say. And she just walked away. And I knew that I had hurt her. That my walk with the Lord all those years had been damaged, had been tainted by my stupidity. And back then, I was so dumb that I thought you had to wait for church to repent. So I prayed for, I think it was a Wednesday or Thursday, and I prayed, I said, Lord, don't come back, please don't come back, don't come back yet, don't come back yet. Oh, Jesus, please don't come back yet. I was praying and praying until I could get to church, and I ran to the altar, and I poured out my heart to God.
I'm sorry, what have I done? And I had to go to Phyllis and say, Phyllis, I messed up. What, something did happen to me. I drifted away. I got stupid, and forgive me. God, you know, I had to, that's why the Bible says obey is better than sacrifice. Because when you obey, you don't have to go back and patch everything up. But I remember what that felt like, the exposure that came. It was like somebody took my clothes off, ripped me open. And she saw deep in me what had happened to me. I had messed up my witness. The spiritual welts that both King David and I both received were worth it because they brought us back into relationship. Yes, I can attest, kindness can hurt. I didn't know then how to tell her that, but that was kindness on her part to not let me get by with. It took me out of disobedience and stagnation. If you see somebody heading off a cliff, you don't worry about tearing their clothes. You rip their clothes, you break your fingernails, you pull their hair, you destroy their jewelry, whatever it takes to keep them from going off the cliff. That's kindness. That's what kindness means, even if it hurts. Number four, kindness brings honor. Proverbs 21:21, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Kindness is not passive, it's an action. The state trooper who pulls you over, they never get all upset. They just come and they got those little cool uniforms on and your heart is beating. You don't really, maybe you know that you were speeding and they pull you over and you rolled it. Well, we don't do that anymore. We put the window down part way. You can see how old I am. And you're looking at it and, yes, sir. And he goes, how you doing today? I'm okay. do you know why I pulled you over? Was I speeding? Correct, ma'am. You know, correct. And I clocked you at whatever, you know, or you had your whole back light is out. Did you know that? You know, whatever it is, they tell you what it is. And they say, can I have your driver's license? Can I have your registration and proof of insurance? And you hand it over with trembling hands out through that door. They never get upset. They don't say, I just wanted you to know that you were speeding. It was 70 and you were going 80. I just wanted you to know that your back light is out. You know how dangerous that is, that someone might not be able to see when you put on the brake that your light is on? They don't do that. They don't get all upset. You know why? Because they have the authority and the power of the state that they're a state cop in, and the courts, and everything else, the jail, so they don't have to get upset. They just lay it out in the kindest way possible. And I have seen enough of those YouTube things where people just get beside themselves if they think they're screaming and yelling, and the cop just goes, I remember that one guy, he said, here's my registration, and he tears it up, he throws it out the window. And the policeman goes, oh, now you're going to have to pick that up because that's littering. Just in that way, and it made the guy crazy. That's what I'm talking about. There is power, and it brings honor. He's not going to dishonor himself by, you know, stomping his feet and being all mad because you were speeding or whatever. Paul found this out. Paul said this. Do you want proof that I'm an apostle? Because remember, when he became an apostle, they were like, whoa, we know about you. We know about him. And he goes, you want proof? I know. I raided the homes. I killed Christians. I brought them suffering. I put them in jail. I went to foreign places to get them and drag them back. I took women and children out of their homes. I know all that. But here's the proof. You want proof? Here it is. I have been supernaturally changed by God. I am kind. I am loving. I have humility, weakness, meekness, long-suffering, all those things. He said, that's the proof of who I am. That's what I put on every day. And we know Paul's life, an imperfect life, but man, yeah, he met Jesus, and it changed him. And one of the things he said is, I'm kind. So there. You know, and they were like, yeah, you are. You are. They watched his life. And so he understood that. You remember in the what he said to the early church? If you ever read
I'm in Acts right now. I'm reading Proverbs, and then I'm reading Acts 2. Wow, what a juxtaposition of truth that is, but it's really interesting. But Paul's instruction to the early church, to all of his letters, were firm, clear, but they were kind, because he didn't let them get away with stuff. That's kindness. That's the power of kindness. That is the repentance. He brought them to repentance as he showed them the word. He showed us how to wear the mantle of discipleship. He taught us how to do that in his letters. How? Put on kindness. He said in Romans 13, 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said. Put on, clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul was saying to his adversaries. I can prove who I am because that's what I was and this is what I am now. And that's the proof. It doesn't come from our goodness, as I said. We have empty tanks. But Jesus, who is abundant in mercy, he exercises loving kindness in the earth. Luke 6:34, I like this one. You will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. That one got me too. He's not just kind to us, he loves the best, his favorites. No, he's kind to the ungrateful, to the evil people. It doesn't change the kindness of God. I think that should be a hallmark of who we are as believers. That when people are unkind to us, when someone makes us wait in line, the pizza's cold. I just want you to know this is the second time the pizza has come cold, or whatever it is. And sometimes we do have to go, you know, begin to talk to ourselves, self-talk. I'm not going to get upset. And even if I'm right, you can be firm just like Paul was and kind. We don't have to give in to our lesser emotions because our lesser emotions are usually not godly. I got a few minutes. It's a robust garment. This kindness, this garment of kindness that we put in is robust. There's some actions that I found in the Bible that talk about kindness and what it means that it's you put into action. I thought of Pharaoh's daughter to baby Moses. So I always thought of baby Moses as a little Gerber Israelite, you know, the cutest baby in the world in the little, what was he in? No, that isn't the word. In the bulrushes, yeah, in a little basket in the bulrushes. The cutest baby. And what did she do? The first thing she did is she saved him. That's action. She brought him to the palace. That's action. She raised him as royalty. Three active things that she did that showed her kindness to him. Rahab, the harlot, she hid the spies. She didn't just say, I won't tell anybody. No, she put her life on the line and hid them. And then when Joshua and the army came in, he spared. There's another action. He spared Rahab and her family and kept their word. Two actions in there. Mordecai and Esther, that's the beautiful story of Esther. He took her into his home when her parents died, and he raised her. Two things. He took her and raised her, and then she saved her people. So you see how the action of kindness that God, it comes from God's heart, has so many ramifications that are so beautiful. The people of Malta, this is the one in the New Testament, Paul said, they took me in. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. They furnished our supplies when we were ready to sail. Kindness, action, not just the way we feel. I'm going to skip the Hebrew part of this. It's not always obvious when kindness is needed. Sometimes we think it's, but sometimes kindness is needed. I said, Lord, give me a picture of what that means. This is what I thought of. I thought of coming into a room and you're at like your spouse's office party, and you don't have what you think everybody else is going to wear. You have like a church dress or whatever, and so you're feeling insecure anyway. But he says, we're going to go. I'm talking girl because I'm a girl. So he says, we're going to go. And so you go and you're there and you look across the room and you see someone And she's beautiful. And she has perfect clothes, perfect hair, expensive dress, expensive jewelry, makeup completely done. Somebody did it. She's totally self-assured. But God prompts you to move to her and to begin a conversation. And you say to God, mm-mm, wrong person. That's what I would have said. But he says it again. I want you to go to her. He knows how to prompt us. I don't know how he prompts you, but I know how he prompts me. And he prompts us again. And so you walk across the room and you begin a conversation. And as you do, it's very easy. And you converse with her. And the evening is wonderful. And you go home and you wonder at that prompting. I wonder what that was all about. And then later you learn that she is not college educated as you assumed she was. That she's extremely shy, that she's from a very broken family. She has lots of money through her husband, but she's extremely nervous and has little confidence. The kindness that you showed in going over to her, what that did is that brought rescue to someone who was very, very unsettled about being there. Outside, she had all the accoutrements of what it took, but inside she was a little shaking girl. And you walked across and you threw out a lifeline to her. And you never know what that could do to bring her into salvation. That's just a scenario that I made up, but you can understand in your own life the opportunity that we have to do that, to throw out the lifeline through kindness in situations that maybe don't seem spiritual at all, but God can use it because it's a powerful thing. Kindness is not a feeling, it's a lifestyle. It's a daily practice because we put it on. It is a choice, a fruit of God's Spirit within us. We have to nurture it and we have to tend to it because it's easy for it to get pushed back in our closet. We start pulling other things out and we're really busy. I gotta do this. Kindness is pushed back there. So we have to tend to it. We have to make, oh, wait a minute, I haven't seen kindness in a while. Let me pull that out again. Make sure that, because God says for me to clothe myself, not just with kindness. That's just what he prompted in my heart for this. But he says clothe ourselves with all of those things from Colossians 3:12. So, but we have to nurture it. So here's a question. Don't you love questions? I do, because they make me think. Here's a question. Am I habitually kind? Am I habitually kind? Because it makes a difference. We can put on the garment of kindness when we get poor service, crazy drivers, weird family members. That's always a challenge. Don't put your hand up, but I bet you all of us have weird family members or unusual people, irregular people, as we call them. We have to pick this fruit when that happens. That's the fruit that lives within us. When it comes push to shove, that's the fruit that we pick, is the incredible imperative of kindness in my life. So kindness is powerful. Kindness hurts. Kindness paves the way to repentance. And kindness brings honor. We have to practice it. We practice it, and you get better at it. You have to be intentional. Be aware. The Bible says that Jesus had to go to Samaria. He said he must needs go to Samaria. He felt that oof in his spirit. Why? For one woman who was not popular. She was a lost woman. She had all kinds of problems. But he went to reach one woman. His kindness overwhelmed his ministry. All that way. He had to go this way to talk to one woman at a well in the heat of the day. And she went and changed her world. He didn't open his mouth to Sychar. He didn't say anything to those people. She did, because of the kindness of Jesus Christ in her life. I know that we have him within us, and he can take us out of our way to show kindness to someone that maybe doesn't even make sense to us. But you never know. You never know what God is doing. I want to obey him in that. And I'm ending with this. Please hold your applause that I'm ending. Kindness does not need a language. It is understood in any language. especially in the eternal language of God's kingdom. Can we commit ourselves to be clothed in kindness as we honor God to our culture? I pray that we can. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, for that you are the seed of kindness in us, Lord, that we don't have kindness in us.